It is Wednesday, April the 2nd, and this is episode 203 of Digital Outbox. Wednesday, how unusual. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
You're on a new mobile platform.
How on?
Yep, so that's big news in tech world. So three's out the window, right?
Oh, the last 2 weeks in three has just been appalling. And even can't even make a call. You know, it's just like, and it worked fine when I was down in Manchester today. So it's definitely local area. It's like, enough's enough. I've just had enough of this.
Well, I mean, and say mobile phone, for all it's supposed to be, you know, about roaming and around and stuff, you use it most at home.
I use it most at work. And at work, I'm struggling to get a reliable signal. And yeah. And for that reason, it was like, no, enough's enough. So I did a bit of shop, but it must have, so EE Shack says it works a treat. The actual onboarding process, I know I'm going off topic on the biggest podcast ever, but the onboarding process for EE this weekend was atrocious.
Right.
I was in danger of like just giving up. I phoned up to see if there was a better deal, and they gave me a worse deal. And I says, but that's worse than your website. And she went, well, sign up on the website then. I went, right, but I'm phoning to see if I can get something better. Yeah, but this is the best I can give you. That's worse than the website. So sign up on the website then. And I had about 20 goes at trying to get through the form, which kept resetting. Eventually it worked. And they emailed me to say, yeah, you're signed up, but you now need to phone us to confirm all this.
Nice.
And when I phoned him, the guy was like, yeah, the form's not really working very well, so I need to manually go and fill all this in now. Can you stay in the line for 5 minutes while I do that?
Oh, sorry, your deal's a bit worse because you can't.
And then to sum it all, I said, so when you're going to send a sim out? Yep, we'll send a sim out today. So this was Saturday. We'll send a sim out today. I was like, fantastic. I says, how long? He says, well, it's usually 3 to 5 days. Can we send it second class post? I was like, you really want me? I couldn't help it. I was like, you really want me to be a customer, don't you? I says, you've done everything today to put me off.
But you still signed up, so there you go. That's how bad
it came through today. I came home, plugged the sim in, got 4G. I can't even remember the speed test now. Was it 25 down and 10 up?
That speed test probably used your monthly allocation up now.
Oh, chortle. I'm sure we have some news.
Yeah, we do. And also, I'm happy because Game of Thrones is now, it's close enough that it's appearing in program guides. It's excellent.
I'm doing my rerun of season 3.
Yeah, I'm going to watch I've already done sort of 2 runs through Game of Thrones. I can't do it again. So I'm just going to watch the final episode to build myself up.
No, watch episode 9. Because their season ends as episode, their big episode's episode 9. And then they kind of, they start new.
All right, I'll watch 9 and 10.
Yeah.
There we go. In a build-up sort of scenario. Right, anyway, yes, on with news. There's Microsoft have been splurging news out today. They have had a conference. What do they call it? I can't remember.
Build
conference. Okay.
Microsoft Build.
Please build. So they have announced several things. So let's go down what they've been talking around. Of course, obviously, it covers their main sort of business models. So Windows Phone 8.1. It's going to bring a Siri contender called Cortana in a very Halo way.
See, when they talked about Cortana, but I don't know, it was about 4 or 5 months ago, it was previewed and people were talking about it. And I thought, how cool would that be that you're actually going to see Cortana on your Windows phone screen and you don't? You see a blue.
She's an orange blob.
Yeah.
That talks to you like Michael Knight, Kit in Michael Knight. So basically, take Apple Siri, take the Samsung Voice, and take Google Plus, and it's doing, Google Now, and it's doing those the same thing, basically. So you can interact with your phone. It can give you contextual information. It uses your sort of browsing and searches to sort of contextualize what it's showing you to see what you think you might need. It's got some clever logic in there for sort of follow-on questions and things.
And I think Microsoft have got a good opportunity. They're definitely not. I don't think right now is as far advanced as Google, but they've got the potential that they do have the search side of things, and they do have a lot of information about you. You know, lots of people do use Outlook and all that kind of good stuff. So there is lots of information they can.
They're
mine.
Better placed than Apple, which hasn't got that search integration. Absolutely. You know, they haven't got that body of data sat there behind. I wonder if they're going to go about trying to solve that problem at some point. They've done it with partnerships up till now, but they're kind of chopping all those things off, really. So there's a few other bits and bobs. They're allowing more customization of things like the tiles. They're allowing new API access to the lock screen so that developers can do new and exciting things.
Ooh.
Yes. And they've also got things like the... I don't know what they're calling, action center.
Yeah, it's just notification center. And in some ways, so it feels like they're doing a lot of the catch up that iOS 5 and 6 was doing when Android came out.
Yeah,
with some
Android
things.
Went and said, right, we've done all this. iOS caught up, and now Windows is doing the same. So we're coming to the point where you look left, right, and center, and they're all looking similar now in their propositions.
Yes. Even to the center, I mean, they're further down the list that I've put in there, they've got a swipe-like keyboard coming. There's a feature set that every smartphone's going to have to have, and they're just going through the tick list, really.
I have to say, I think my Android keyboard, I don't know if it's getting worse or it's just me getting less accurate, but it's not as good. But as soon as I go back to swipe is actually a better way to type. But you have to keep on the ball all the time. You have to, you know... It tends to work, and it probably is the future of how you're supposed to use these kind of keyboards. But I have just noticed recently, if you try and type letter by letter, it's just getting worse. Or maybe it's autocorrect is getting worse. I'm not sure.
So this is all under Windows Phone 8.1, which is coming out April or early May.
Okay.
So not far
not
away.
Long way at all,
it's for, if you've got a Windows 8 phone right now, you will get Windows 8.1.
So they're going to start upgrading you, but the chances are that new phones will come out which you'll have it pre-installed, which will probably be the first place that it all appears.
I actually didn't put in the show notes. They announced Lumia 930, 630 and 635, designed for Windows Phone 8.1, but they're all old phones. So it's basically an old phone, but with a new software on.
Nah, that's fair enough. There's another feature where they're going to allow you to share your Wi-Fi connection, but without sharing your password, which seems a bit weird. So your phone's going to act as a little hub.
Yeah, and everybody went, ooh, but they didn't explain anything.
No.
And we also should have said Cortana. It's a beta.
Yes. But so, then I think most of these things are still officially beta, aren't they? That's the new way of things.
But there was a groan at the end because a lot of people were saying, oh, brave new Microsoft on their white charger. Throwing stuff out.
They're certainly throwing stuff out. You know, we talked about that last week, and they've continued. And very much things that are before they maybe would have previously released them. So,
absolutely. I mean, even not in the notes, they're cloud. They've matched Amazon and Google's price war.
Yeah.
From a cloud perspective. So they're definitely making the right noises.
Windows 8.1 update. So this is further to the Windows 8.1 that update, as it were.
There was a Windows 8 and a Windows 8.1 and a Windows 8.1 update.
Yes. So this is basically going further down the route of trying to get things back to mouse and keyboard again. And by the sounds of it, they're just about getting there. Some of them are pretty ugly implementations. So dragging back the Windows taskbar into the kind of Metro interface, I can't remember what they call it now, which apparently grates, but nevertheless is actually sensible, and allowing Metro type apps to actually run on the desktop as well. So pulling things backwards and forwards and actually offering back things like taskbars to allow people to move their content around.
And also, seemingly, what was the number one request was a shutdown button for desktop PCs and laptops because people couldn't find it.
Yes. So that kind of shows how limited it was there. I guess because things like tablets, you're not supposed to need to shut things down, right? It just sits there in standby. And there's a new start. They've tweaked again the start button. But these, I think these are at the thing. Let me spit my words out, shall I? there are extra features they announced, yet they're not in this update.
Yeah, so everything we've set up to now, and all these kind of tweaks to taskbars and little you know, tweaks, and a lot of it's to help keyboard and mouse users, you know, like the majority of the Windows user base. Yeah. They're out next week. So this is a Windows 8.1 update, and it's out on April the 8th. But they also showed the start menu. So they bring the start menu back. But they've got a kind of funny hybrid of the start menu kind of as it looked in Windows 7, but with also tiles in the menu next to the menu, which was like, okay, so it's like a bit of the kind of Metro desktop. And they demoed that and people were like, woohoo. But that's coming in another 8.1 update later this year.
8.1 update.
Yeah.
8.1 update redo.
A future update, in fact. So maybe it's the Windows 8.1 future update.
They're also streamlining as well, so they're trying to make it so that this it can run on a machine with only 1 gig of RAM and a 16 gig storage. So basically they've had to reduce the image size by about 60% to get that done. They're also going to be allowing, or certain PC types are going to boot straight to desktop. So instead, avoid the Metro completely, and they're not saying how that's going to work yet, but chances are it'll be some sort of working out what features your PC actually has. So does it have touch capability, and if it doesn't, then boot straight into the Windows desktop.
You know, you could almost be a consultant with that kind of logic.
Almost, as in that's surely the straightforward thing, so it won't happen. Windows is going to go free on certain devices. So if your device has a screen smaller than 9 inches, or maybe even no screen at all, you can get it for free. You can license it for free. And this is to start trying to get their operating system pushed out into the Internet of Things type concept. So little objects or little devices around the house, helper devices that don't need a full big screen, you can now get licensed for free, trying to get themselves pushed out there. I mean, countering Android basically is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I mean, in my speak, it would basically, if you've got a small Tadger, then you're getting it for free.
There we go. They showed us some redesigned Office applications that now work with Windows touchscreens. So where they're pulling back the desktop to try and be a bit more mouse focused, they're trying to also push their apps the other way, which is, you know, now that we are trying to cater for touch, we're pushing them towards that. So just trying to find that middle ground. The ribbon still exists, but, you know, you can now gesture inside of apps. Ribbon is much more sensible, and buttons now spread out more. So actually it makes more sense if you do want to touch menu buttons and things like that.
I never actually realized it didn't have an Office built for Windows 8. I just assumed that was there.
No, they had the smaller Windows 8.
The RT type.
That's it, the RT type.
It shows maybe how much I'm not paying attention to them, or how much I think they've missed the boat. That, you know, with something like a Windows 8, that they didn't actually have a really touch-focused, you know, UI gesture-driven Office. And also, bizarrely, that, you know, the iPad that I'm just touching just now has actually got it now.
You said that in a really creepy way. The iPad, which I'm touching right now.
Giving it a good old stroke.
There's my iPad. What do you think of that?
I'll take you to bed later. Yeah. <God. laughs> I will, you know.
Right. You've thrown me a bit now. Yes. Anyway, so that's now coming. So there. When's that being released? Did they say a date?
No, it was just coming soon.
Coming soon. There we go.
And I think they had to do something because with that iPad announcement last week and actually saying the apps are out there. Mm. And although everybody was saying about time, and the one thing we didn't mention last week is that you can actually subscribe to Office 365 on the iPad, and Apple gets a 30% cut.
Wow.
So it's a,
again, they've, you know,
big change for Microsoft.
Yeah, and good for them, I say.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is, they had to show something today, and this is a coming soon.
Okay. They've announced that you are going to be able to make universal applications now for PC, phone, tablets, and Xbox One. So there will be a system whereby you can generate your code once and push that out to all of the different devices. You are free if you want to add different front ends to each and things like that, but the underlying code can remain generic. Sounds like a very sensible idea. They've also shortened the time that it's going to take to actually publish these things out.
Yes.
Just yes.
Well, it's again, it all sounds really good, but it's the proof in the pudding with these things.
Yeah, you know, and are you going to get a developer? Is it going to dilute things, or is it actually going to make them better?
Yeah, and it's like the Xbox One when they announced last year, you know, hardly any indie stuff, and then they kind of did a whole big indie push. And I think the first indie games are coming next week. And there are people starting to say they've got their act together. Maybe not as great as PS4, but they are making some, you know, good moves in the right direction. So again, it's for me proof's in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the final bit that I just highlighted at the bottom is just the freebies that came out because it was $2,000 to attend this conference. So
wow.
It's $2,000, and you got an Xbox One, which is probably worth about $100 now. And a $500 Microsoft Store gift card. So yeah,
right.
Spend your money with us. Spend our money. Spend your money. I can't work it out.
They probably converted it to Microsoft points and then back again, and then it wasn't worth as much.
Oh, we'll come on to that when we talk Amazon later.
Microsoft has pledged not to search through your user email for stolen property. So this is all comes off the back of their... they searched through one of their employees' private Hotmail accounts to see where information had leaked out the company. People were a bit outraged by this. People were even more outraged to find out that what they were doing wasn't legal, and they have now come out and said, they initially came out and said, right, we won't do that anymore unless we do it in such a way as would normally be happened through the legal process. And now they've come out and said, okay, we're not going to do anything unless we have the legal authority to do that.
And they got a load of a stick from everybody around the internet saying, this is why you don't use Hotmail, this is why you don't trust Outlook, this is why you don't trust Microsoft. And they actually pointed out, hold on, Apple and Google do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so fair play, pretty quick again. There is a change. It just feels like, and whether it's just because they're being more public about it, or we've seen a number of announcements over the last 2 weeks from Microsoft, it feels like this is the start of the behemoth changing, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Agreed. Whether this is just a sort of slight backlog of news and products, which they have been holding back because of the development timescales or whatever, and it's going to slow down now because, you can't keep churning things out like that. Who knows? But yeah, I agree that the angle and philosophy seems different.
Even Shaq's now following Sachin Nadella on Twitter.
Mm, there you go.
Where he would never follow that fool Bammer. That was his actual tweet last week.
Porn sites are going to get... Oh, well, there's a demand for porn sites to get age check before that you're allowed to take money, basically. Or before you're allowed to view the content. This is someone, a UK industry regulator has called for the change, basically to say that to foreign sites, right, you can't take money unless you do this age check verification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was two bits to this story because the kind of... I think the industry, so the porn industry, did actually turn round, and I'm trying to say, I don't know if I actually copied it in, but there was some doubt about this. Was just the regulator basically trying to justify itself and say we need to have a place in the UK industry to vet all this and manage all this. So it was almost like they were justifying themselves, and the research they put up was all about, you know, 6% of children aged 15 or years under had access to an adult website, but. What made me dubious was, if I think back to what's classed as adult website now under web filtering, was it actually a porn site? And this is where it all gets really grey, because the stats that they put out were all, you know, it was said, tell us the website you use, tell us what websites they were then. You know, put the list up and prove it instead of this.
I mean, to say neither of us are parents, so neither of us probably truly understand the kind of... where this is coming from, but what we can both probably agree on is the fact that this guy, this regulator, is saying it is critical to the future of, you know, whatever. Why is it? It's not critical. I mean, there's plenty of things in this world that are critical that never get looked at or changed or adjusted. This isn't critical. But again, I think it might change if you are a parent, maybe. But
And also, they can't stop sites abroad.
No, and that's what they're trying to do. They have no control over it, and they're trying to force control where, you know, again, the internet model doesn't let them.
I just don't get where this is going, because you've already got all the filtering that's been brought in.
Yes, what is this going to stop this? In addition to?
Yeah, so where's the issue? And was all this research done before the filtering was brought in? So should we not do it again, because you've brought in all this stuff already?
What they really want is just the, you know, they want to have that central store of
porn.
You know, who's paying for what, basically. Again, it's just information that they want to be able to control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There you go. Cyber Emergency Response Team, CERT, has been set up. We talked about this a few weeks ago now, that we're talking about the need for this. And they have brought in this new body. And basically, the new body is there to advise, monitor, maintain, look out for attacks happening to companies. And if companies do come under cyber attack, they can be a go-to body to help and resolve. They don't have any legal powers. They don't have any power, really. Sounds a bit like more ways to employ politicians' friends.
And there's like 50 of them, there's going to be.
Mm.
And it's all like they can put out like guidance.
Yes.
And advice. Yes.
Which government regularly ignores, it seems, whenever, you know, they chuck out advice that they just don't disagree with. Anyway, there you go. So that's now come into fruition.
So this is up and running, isn't it?
Yep.
So I can go there right now and get an alert.
Wonderful. I mean, half the time, I think most of these bodies that get set up, they think about the acronym before actually what it's going to go and do and what it's going to.
So, what do you think the latest alert is?
There's some spam mail going around.
End of support for Microsoft Windows XP.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I had a little pop up on my old XP machine.
No. Yeah. I don't think it needs a body of 50 people to have worked that out.
Well, let's give them a chance. Let's see. I mean, it probably is a bigger issue than we're giving it credit for, because lots of things like this don't get advertised for good reason.
Well, there's so in 6 months, there's been 4 alerts.
Yeah.
And it's all been Microsoft. So the Microsoft updates, mass spamming. So you weren't far off in November, and Microsoft Windows. So basically, somebody's got a Microsoft RSS feed and has pumped it into the CERT UK page.
And I certainly know that, you know, things like WordPress, when they come under sustained attack sometimes. And we hear about that because of the work we do. And it is, you know, prolonged and sustained attacks across all WordPress installations that bots know about. So it's, you know, there are things that go on. That
God,
clearly
it's the worst website ever.
They need to employ some IT people. UK are going to finally legalise the ripping of CDs and DVDs.
What? You mean I've been breaking the law for the last 20 years?
So basically it brings law in line with what everyone's doing, which is effectively copying their CDs / DVDs to all their different devices. So yes, it's been illegal all this time, and now they have said for private use only, it is fine.
So basically, if everybody in the UK went and robbed shops, because everybody's doing it, they'd have to make it law.
I guess so. The common law.
Wow. Brothers.
Anyway, so this has been a long time in the court. Even back however many years ago when we started this podcast, we were talking about the same issues. It was a long, long time ago. Sky. So now you can rip DVD. Sky are going to go down a new project route where they're going to send you DVDs of products that you buy online or download and stream.
I don't get this.
This is like oh my god, we've got a big store of DVD-Rs here. I don't know what to do with them. No one uses them anymore. I know what. We'll say it's a premium service and we'll send people their DVD.
I honestly thought this was an April Fool's.
It had to be. Is it not?
And it's not. So basically, wow. if you buy a digital copy of a movie from the Sky store, Sky will then send you And basically saying it, we'll send you like a complimentary DVD. And it's not complimentary because DVDs... Because it costs more. Yeah, because what they're saying is the DVDs, or sorry, the downloads will be priced at $7.99 to $13.99, which suspiciously makes me think that's the price of a DVD or a Blu-ray.
Yes.
No.
So, I mean, their argument is that their customers like having the, you know, the DVD to hold on to. I just think that their research is trailing just very slightly behind where we are, really. Really what we want is a service whereby we buy it once and then we can watch it anytime on any device by just streaming it down. And I think we're getting there slowly. But yeah, this isn't it.
Well, and maybe I take it back because I thought I'll just jump in the iTunes store and I'll buy Frozen, which everybody's talking about is the most, you know, the most paid for digital movie ever. Not digital movie, the digital animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is $13.99 right, okay, to buy go. An HD copy. So maybe we're doing Sky a disservice. So maybe this is something.
Maybe we are doing them a disservice. But actually, like I say, I'd rather spend that $13.99 and then know that I can watch it any time that I want and on any of my devices.
So there's Philomena, which I bought for my mother on Blu-ray, and I think it was £15, and it's a tenner to buy it in HD.
All I can think of when you say Philomena is Philomena Kunk off of...
I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
That was close.
Off of the Weekly Wipe. Anyway. So there you go. That's Sky's new innovation, is sending you hard copies of things that you're downloading. Dropbox, fury over Twitter over the last week, I guess. Basically... Someone put out on a tweet that they thought that they had their Dropbox account scanned for illegal content, and they'd blocked and deleted content from their private Dropbox account. And it turned out that wasn't quite the case. It was slightly different, right?
Yeah, so this was somebody tweeted an image, and it was a DMCA takedown. So it was on their Google page. And it was a DMCA takedown of a file that they were sharing from their Dropbox account. And it was basically, wow, didn't think this would ever happen. And what they were wrongly assuming was that that somebody at Dropbox or an admin or a support person had scanned the files, saw that it was, and I don't know what the film or music or whatever it was that he was sharing, but I don't know, it was The Matrix, because it's 15 years ago today since The Matrix was released. So assuming it was The Matrix, and they went and saw and thought, aha, there you go, Johnny Foreigner sharing, oh, I'm sounding like Nigel Farage, Johnny Foreigner's obviously an Asian guy, is sharing that film, let's put down a takedown notice on him and also tell him off. And it was nothing to do with that. Basically, they used a hash. And if the hash matches what the music or movie industry says to Dropbox of, by the way, they are not storing that file, but sharing the file. So this is only on files that people publicly share or privately share. They'll get no issue if I take a movie and the hash matches and I put it in my Dropbox folders and I don't share it with anybody. That's fine. I'm just using Dropbox as a cloud storage.
Any public folder or any time you copy a link to the clipboard, basically. And there was also said that the content had been deleted, but actually it hadn't. The download link had just been inactivated, basically. So
yep, they took the share off.
Yeah, so they hadn't allowed that share to happen. So that's how Dropbox are protecting themselves, really.
And Dropbox clarified it all, said, we've been doing it for years. This is common knowledge. There's nothing sketchy about it at all. It's just the usual.
They still have to obviously scan the hash and stuff like that. But it's, you know.
There's one of the guys that I work with, and I've never partaken in it, but he shares tons through it. And I did say to him, they're starting to do this. And he's like, ah, they can't. It's my files. And it's like, it's not.
Yeah, they can.
It's not your files.
Amazon Fire TV. Now, you've got very excited over Amazon Fire TV. So this is, this is, so says me, this is Amazon's sort of answer to the Apple TV and to Roku and places like that. So they've gone for the $99 box option rather than the kind of Google Chromecast, which just while I mentioned Chromecast, I've been noticing the Chromecast icon popping up all over the place recently. So lots of apps are now starting, or I say lots. More and more apps are starting to support Chromecast out of the box, which is great. So this is Amazon's model, and basically it is a box. It sits there, 2 gig RAM, and it hooks into that kind of Amazon Kindle Fire infrastructure, basically.
Yes. And the reason I was really interested in all this was more the, I still think this is the kind of, we talked about downloads a few minutes ago, I still think this is the great untapped, you know, box under the TV. Apple have got huge potential if they had an app store. Google Chrome, you know, Cast is working really well. I mean, I tried my Chromecast over the weekend with Plex, and it was playing MKVs without dropping a frame. It was rock solid. Really quite impressed just how easy it was. Amazon's... So Amazon's Fire, and people have been talking about this for ages. I think we saw the Joypad kind of leaked a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
So this is a $99 device, which will play video, play movies, and also act as a games device, so a console.
Yes, and it's... The feedback is don't expect too much for it, and then you'll be quite amazed. It's not supposed to be a top of the range games console. It's just supposed to be a casual gamer's way of getting in there. And as soon as it's sat up and connected to your TV, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a quad core processor. It's got 2 gig of RAM, and what they're saying is that takes away any lag, so everything works really well. It comes with a remote, and you can voice control the box via the remote. So there's a mic in the remote, so you can actually say, you know, play The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, and that's seemingly people were testing it and it works fine. It's not, they make a big thing about it, it's not closed, and we've got this open ecosystem. So
because
it's got
the
Hulu.
Kindle Fire was a fairly closed affair, that's why they're
exactly
saying that.
And I think they've always, it's always felt that way, that if you've got content in your Amazon Cloud photo storage or your Amazon video whatever, and you know, and you're a Prime customer, it's all in Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But they are stressing, it's got Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, Vimeo, baseball and NBA.
I was going to say, it's kind of the normal four that we're seeing regularly, always there. You know, and in the UK, we get things like iPlayer added on top as well. But
yeah, I think if you don't have those, it's like out the box, you're behind.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You need to have those to be a viable platform.
And it seems like those guys are happy to license anywhere, or they've got sufficient licensing themselves that they can display anywhere. I think that's more to the point, really.
So $99 gets you that hardware, and the hardware looks fine, but nobody really cares. It'll sit under your TV. A couple of things that they're doing uniquely. So there's a thing called ASAP, which predicts which movies and TV episodes you want to watch and prepares them for instantaneous.
Didn't like this one.
Yeah, I was like, how do you know what I'm going to watch?
Yeah, how do you know I'm going to watch it? And also, I mean, Netflix, I guess, does this a little bit by chaining episode after episode after episode. But that's one episode following another. This is saying, I know what you're going to watch next, and it's not going to be this. And that's going to be starting to use up my bandwidth and use up, you know, the memory on the box by storing content that I'm never going to use. Bit like, you know, Google predicting what you're going to click next and loading everything in the background. So I have to say, Google Chrome recently, it's bloated. It's actually, from its rocket ship start, it's now quite slow, I'd say.
I actually think it's better than it did. For me, a year ago, it was worse.
Mm.
I think it's actually got better again, but it reminded me of Firefox. Firefox, when it came out, was the fast browser everybody loved. I did loads of tatting and it became horrible, and Chrome was the white shining knight that everybody jumped on and said, yeah, this is now the fast browser.
I was going to say, we're almost ready for that again, aren't we, really?
Yeah, it feels like it.
But yeah, the memory usage of it is shocking as well, as in it.
Oh,
new
yeah.
Web pages now with all the added features that we've got. And okay, it's great. Things like these show notes in you know, Google Docs. It's masses and masses of memories it chews. It's amazing. Unbelievable.
And I don't, I'll be honest, I don't notice it, because I'm sitting here with 16 gig of RAM.
Yeah, that's it. My Mac is grinding to a halt at times because of it's shunting things around.
I should send you some RAM. I've got my drawers full of RAM. Anyway, we'll speak later. I do actually have...
Drawers full of RAM and stroking your iPad.
Yeah, yeah. So ASAP was one feature that they stressed. Mm-hmm. The other one was gaming. So we've talked about how none of the other platforms have really, you know, so Chromecast has apps on or tablets that you can throw content onto, and Apple doesn't really have many apps as such. There's certainly no store. And everybody's predicting whatever Apple do this year will be some sort of, you know, app-driven store-type device. And I think it will. I think there's lots of potential there. And Amazon have come out and said, we've got it. So it supports gaming. And basically, it's an Android games player. They said they're going to have thousands of games, but they're not console quality. And I'm, you know, there's, try to remember, what was the Kickstarter? Was it Ouya?
Mm.
Was the Kickstarter Android player that everybody raved about, was $100 and it died. So it went 2 weeks ago, basically said, no, we're done. We might get baked into some TVs going forward, but that's us. So we'll see how it goes, because Amazon are starting to hire. They've got their own game studio. So I think right now, although a lot of it feels like, you know, good Android games or, you know, top-notch Android games, that could be some really compelling games. Some of the games that I play on the iPad are fantastic, you know, and to have that sitting on the couch.
Yeah, and exactly that. And it's trying to get into that market. I think iPad works because it's a private screen, you know, and you can sit there and the TV's got something else on it. Whether you'd have a family experience with content on the TV, I don't know really.
And the bit that kind of feels to me as well is that the out the box doesn't come with the joypad, so you need to pay another $40 to get the pad. And it's like, this just feels like an add-on. You feel like you've made a half step.
Yes. I think what they're saying is they can't afford to go to a higher price point that includes But, you know, they've got to stick at that $99, which everyone else has gone to, that including a controller in it. I mean, you would have thought they could do a bundle one as well, where, you know, so it doesn't have to be done separately. You can choose. You know.
But the other bit that sucks, so you spend $40 on this pad, but then they give you 1,000 Amazon coins because that's their virtual currency, and it's like, ugh.
I bet you there's not anything to spend it on to start with either.
Sod off. And the average selling price for paid games is just $1.85, and it's like, well, you're racing to the bottom straight away. So we'll see how it goes. It's interesting. It's not one I would run out and buy, and I can't because it's only out in America today.
Yeah, so we can't even get the chance. Yeah, they're going to bring it to UK as one of the first countries after they've done the US, but yeah, we're not seeing that till then. Amazon has announced a student program for its sales on store. Basically, if you prove that you're a student, you can get free deliveries for a period, and then you get reduced Amazon Prime membership, which comes with all the kind of additional pluses that they've tried to sort of pimp out with Prime. So they're, as well as the free delivery, you get the access to their music, so their movie service and things like that.
This looks like a really good deal.
For our students. We don't care about them anymore, though.
Why?
Because I'm of that age now.
Basically, you're old, but untwisted.
Absolutely. It's all about me. Motorola Moto G has basically done very well for itself. It's gone from pretty much 0% to 6% of UK sales. This is the budget end of the smartphone market. So without contract, this was about £135 to buy an Android smartphone, and apparently it's been very popular, but probably loss making for Google. So Google are getting rid of Motorola and sending it over to China, and basically there's a chance that they won't be able to support this loss making handset.
But it just shows you, right device, right price. And
well, like right price, but it's not a price that's sustainable. That's the problem, isn't it?
No, well, if it's the same technology available now, because, you know, obviously people are still buying the phones. So if you look at the Galaxy 5 out next week or something like that, or the week after, and I guess September we'll see new iPhones, but they're all £600-700 again.
Yeah.
Is something like the Moto G, which got cracking reviews for its price. You know, and we say cracking reviews for its price as if it's quite dismissive.
It got good reviews in spite of its price. Yeah.
Yes. Well said. And maybe it was a loss. You know, maybe it was Google loss leading last year. Maybe Lenovo can do something to keep that price and start making small profits on it.
Yeah, and. As time goes on, generally speaking, that kind of technology, you know, we see it in consoles, we see it everywhere, that remains relatively constant. They get the same product they can actually produce, yes, for a lot cheaper.
6% was a lot higher than I thought they would ever get.
Yeah, I thought
they would not get many sales at all when it came here, but that's
I guess
really
if you're
good.
You're in a store, you hold the Moto G and then you hold a kind of another, you know, Android handset, and the two are no different really. And this one cost you £135, and this one this one's free on contract, let's say that. And this one costs, you know, £250 plus the contract. Why wouldn't you?
Mm.
Nest coming to the UK, or it has come to the UK. Nest, basically the controllable thermostat that will try and control the heat of your home and save you money in doing so. It's come over here. It's going to cost £179, but they've recommended that you have an engineer fit it, which will mean it's 250 odd quid. But basically it's here, and they reckon you're going to save loads of money.
Well, I think they were saying in America, the average saving is, I can't remember if it's 10 or 20%. And considering the average UK bill is 1,300 a year.
Yes.
If you can save that, then it's well worth doing. I am quite tempted, I must admit.
Yeah, of course you are. This is always you all over.
I know, but the difference with this is I've got a mother. So so while it's great for me and my you know, I can fire up an iPhone app and be happy.
Mum's thought of adjusting the thermostat as well. We got Nest for. You're ruining exactly. Its stats.
Yeah. For that reason, I can't see it happening. But I'm so tempted.
It's a good point, though. Right now, it's a good point. You know the arguments that happen in houses over, you know, one person wants it at 20, one wants it at 22, another one wants it at 25. Surely Nest relies on you having a house that everyone can agree what the right temperature is, and that never happens. So yeah, it's quite interesting. Unless it's really clever and knows when Dad's out.
And they talked. I mean, what was interesting as well, because people were saying, "Why isn't this in the UK?" Don't understand. But they actually had to add some hardware. So I had to add a new heat link component that attaches to your boiler at home and communicates to the thermostat via either a wired or wireless connection. So that extra piece of kit wasn't necessary in the American release.
We also have different wireless and radio wave regulations over here.
Yes. And there was also some issues. I think a lot more. Another part of the adaption in the UK's preponderance of water boilers is that the Nest thermostat will now know to switch off the heating before the desired temperature is reached, accounting for the effects of residual heat in the boiler.
Yeah, okay, so little clever bits of not overshooting, basically.
Yes.
There you go. Good stuff. Spotify has debuted its dark redesign. Gone dark and dingy. Basically, where it was kind of grey and before, it's now black.
Yeah, pretty much. So the mobile apps have updated for me, but the desktop one is still reassuringly mince.
Oh, we were talking about the desktop application before coming on the show, and yeah, it's pretty abysmal. I hope they've done some background updates. It chews up resources, and it takes ages to load when it shouldn't do, really. But anyway, that's just what we talked about beforehand. So I'm hoping that this dark redesign is not just someone changing a pixel color from grey to black.
And I've also messed around. It's not just a skin on top of already what's there. So there's a new collections feature called Your Music, enables people to save songs and albums to a personal collection. So it's almost like trying to, because I've always relied on playlists, haven't they? They've been very much focused on playlists was the main way of getting to your music. So this is a different way in. And seemingly this has been on trial since December 2012.
What?
A long time.
Who's been trialing that?
so they trailed it at a press event in December 2012. So internally they've been kind of playing around with this for a year and a half.
Right, okay. Well, I've got big hopes for it then, because it can't be much worse than I've got already. And that's coming from a fan of the service.
It's funny, one thing I wanted to do recently, one of my friends put up a really good playlist. I wanted to fork it. I just wanted to actually say fork and do more little tweaks on it. And I was like, why can't I do that? It was a...
They maybe not thought of that idea. You should...
Oh, they must have. Come on.
Nah, simple ideas like that don't always get thought of.
Because as soon as I looked at it, I was like, well, I don't like that, and that, and I would have added this, and this. And I just thought, instead of just subscribing, it would be great to see who's actually forked and went a different way. And then I thought all the different visualization routes you could then do of your original playlist and all the other
stuff. Where it ended up.
Having their own take on it. Yeah.
There we go.
Let's make something, Chris. No.
I don't think it's that good an idea. I think it's marginally okay. That's the end of our news. I've just destroyed Ian's morale. The end of our news.
That was destroyed a long time ago.
If you want to find out more about... Have you got a pick? I haven't got a pick. Of course I haven't got a pick.
No, I'm too tired.
Yeah, so am I. I just need to go to bed. Right, if you want to find out more about what we do, you can, digitaloutbox.com, and you can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. And Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and my blog is iand.net.
I was followed, and I don't know whether you were, by UK Podcast Network or something like that on Twitter. There you go.
I wasn't.
I was. Haha. That's because they don't know how to get to Sweeper. Which,
so UK Podcast Network.
I think that's something like that, yes. There you go. So I'm famous in little circles, you see. We will talk at you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
Yeah, I bet you're jealous now.
Definitely not.
No, wrong answer.